and verse 22, and then from 19, verse 14. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And then from 19:14, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Let us pray. In the past few weeks, we have seen what the world thinks of marriage. The world has this concept that marriage is something that is because you love someone. And while that is partially true, unfortunately, our world has a tendency to see love as our popular songs, which are more lust than love. They misunderstand what true love really is, and they look at marriage as somehow going to give them what they want. When in reality, their concept of marriage is hugely separated from what God has intended. In the car, I was reading someplace, and they were talking, I can't remember what was on the radio or whether I was reading it now. But they were talking about the whole idea that it was better. What was on the radio? It was better that this homosexual marriage was better because you didn't have a man and a woman and the differences between the two to overcome. And so this was a superior way of doing it. The only problem is, God gave us a man and a woman as our pattern. And he said, that was very good. What we do not understand in our world is our sin. We want to run from it. And that is what's bringing into all the problems that we have today. But as we look at marriage from the Proverbs, we see in these two verses that marriage is God's gift to man. And we see that it is God's gift because, first off, he has desired it, but it also because he blesses it. And so its value becomes something that we need to see, and who it is that is involved in it, we need also to understand. And so let us look at these two verses to try and glean some understanding of marriage and why it is indeed God's gift to mankind. First off, marriage is the result of three wills, I would argue. In verse 22 of chapter 18, he says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Notice what we have here is there's the operation of three people, three persons. He, the husband, she, the wife, and the Lord. There are actions that are taken. Here we have the traditional understanding from a parochial culture of which really that's how God has set it up, as a parochial culture, that the man is to go to find a wife. And throughout that operation, it is God who is there with them. We see this in Genesis chapter 2, don't we? Here was Adam. He was there. God said he is alone and it's not good. And so God causes him to sleep. And in his sleep, he takes a rib from him and he fashions out of that a woman. In the Hebrew, it was Ish, the man, and the woman becomes Isha, the feminization of the word for man. And it is God who brings Eve to Adam. And so we see this operating, this whole idea. But let's look at it first off in terms of a human standpoint. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. We can flip that too, and we see that from other passages that for the man, he is to be a blessing to his wife, as we've read in Ephesians chapter 5. And so it's not just the man who finds a good thing when he finds a good wife, but it is also a wife who finds a good thing when she finds a good man. Traditionally, it was the parents often who would do it, who would seek after and arrange the marriage. But that was not always the case. Literally here in this verse, it's he finds or he found, it's more appropriately to say found, he found a wife or a woman, a good thing, and found a good thing. And the action here is that of the man seeking and finding. In various places, especially in the Proverbs, we see in the chapters 4 through 8, a lot of talk about the seductress and the adulterous wife. We see that coming up in verse 13 of 19, chapter 19, the same thing. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. There it's a nagging wife. But there are other places and all sorts of places where it talks about a wife being not so great. And so we need to realize that there are good wives and there are not so good wives. There are those that bring benefit to you and those who do not. Just like there are those who are men who are capable, helpful, and those who are not. And as husbands and wives, we need to realize that, especially in our society, that we need to look for the right one and seek the right one. And even when we become married, that we should become and desire to become that right one. The one who brings good to the relationship. But what of God's actions here? Well, the man who finds his wife also finds favor from God, obtains, gets, receives favor from the Lord. After all, he is the one who has instituted marriage in the first place, because it was not good for man to be alone. And therefore, because man was alone, God brought a woman to him so that he would have a companion. But he had to have a companion who matched him, who complemented him. And so we see the favor of God within the marriage bonds. As husband and wife operate and function together. Not as opposing to each other, but with each other. And we need to realize that that is God's favor when that happens. It can happen that, as I said in verse 13 of chapter 19, the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Other places speak of the wife through her folly, pulling her and tearing her household apart. But it does say marvelous things when everything goes well. And we'll look at Proverbs 31 briefly this morning as well to see how it enhances a good marriage from both sides, enhances everything. But at this point, we need to realize that it is God's favor. And so we should give thanks to our God for our spouses. That we should thank our God for what he has done for us and provided for us. and how he has given to us. Think of Ruth. I don't know what sort of understanding she had to begin with, being a Moabite, of what marriage meant. But she saw something in Naomi. She saw something that drew her to Naomi and Elimelech. Somehow or another, the marriage with Naomi's son, he dies, but she is willing to stick through thick and thin with Naomi. And so she comes to Israel with Naomi. She seeks to help Naomi and herself in food and other ways. And she runs across Boaz. And as we watch, and as we look at the and read Ruth, and as we watch the two interact, we see husband and wife finding each other. And the blessing of our God upon that. What we see is the coming of the line of David. The beginnings of it. With Boaz and Ruth, and we see Salmon and Jesse, and then David, and we see the line that comes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it started with this direction between these two individuals and the blessing of our God. That Christ is the one who ultimately has wedded his own church. And as husbands, he is to be the one that we emulate. And as wives, it is to him that we bow as the church. We are to bow before Christ, he who has brought us together and given us so much. But we also need to realize that marriage is a highly valuable thing. In verse 14 of chapter 19, houses and riches are inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, the idea here is that houses and riches come from fathers. And yet we know that ultimately, as we look at all of Scripture and as we think about it, even those houses and riches have come from the hand of God. But we need to see and to realize that a prudent wife is something that is special. Houses and riches in a human terms have come from our fathers. They are there and something available. To a certain extent, we almost expect it. But to receive a prudent wife, that is something special. And think of what was just come before that, the contentions of a wife. Some have translated nagging of a wife are a continual dripping. Instead, the prudent wife, how marvelous and how wonderful she is, and how valuable, how precious that can be. In Proverbs 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to in his bones. An excellent wife is his crown, the honor, the dignity. And how much as well, the husband to the wife, her precious. How precious it is. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, we have something here that is almost identical. to the previous verse, or to like 18:22. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. This is wisdom talking. And as wisdom is speaking, it says, who finds me finds favor, is like finding favor from the Lord. And it's almost identical terminology as verse 18:22. But notice how it is saying how marvelous a thing it is. That was the entire thrust of Proverbs there, speaking of wisdom, and the wisdom literature here ultimately is all how marvelous and how wonderful wisdom is. How good and precious it is. And so we should look at marriage as a very high value. Unfortunately, in our society, we have turned our backs upon it. I don't know if the statistic, there are those that argue that the statistic is wrong, but whether it's right or wrong, the whole idea of 50% or so of marriages ending in divorce is a travesty. It's a finding of marriage as being something that is convenient for me, ultimately. And when it's not convenient, let's cast it aside. The institution itself is not seen as something valuable. And I would argue that what we see here in verse 14 is that marriage is more valuable than those goods, those worldly goods. Houses and riches are an inheritance from the fathers. They're there. They're good, but they're there. And then there's this contrast. But the prudent wife is from the Lord. This contrast between the two. We can get those things. Yeah, those are good. Those are fine as far as they go. But they're really not the ultimate thing to look for. They're valuable in one sense, but not in the ultimate sense. Not in the greatest sense. Our fathers will collect and gather their goods, and when they die, it's spread abroad between their children. And that may be helpful. It may be good. But a prudent wife, as it says here, is so much more. I believe what the contrast here is also, notice the fathers and the Lord. The riches and houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers. But where does a prudent wife come from? The Lord. And His gifts are so superior to those that we can get from this world. He's the one who gives to us a prudent wife. But what is a prudent wife? That's where we need to look at Proverbs 31. Beginning at verse 10, we find this prudent wife. Here she's called the virtuous wife. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She receives or perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of the idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own hands praise her in the gates. There isn't any one single passage in the book of Proverbs that deals with the husband, but we have this one dealing with the wife. And it's not given to the wives to say, this is what you're supposed to be like. It's given to the husbands to say, this is what you're looking for. And I know as I look and as I perceive this passage, that it's like, whoa, do I have to do all of that? But I think this is the characteristics, and it's trying to explain those characteristics of what this prudent wife, this virtuous wife, is all about. She is one who helps her husband, who fears the Lord, who cares for her family. But she is also what? One who cares for those who are destitute and need help. The law of kindness, as it calls it. And the wonder of what this sort of virtuous, godly woman is. And by contrast, well, not contrast so much, but the flip side, the husband. We see here a godly woman. And that's what the man needs to be, is a godly man. To a certain extent, Psalm, I think it's 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. But unto the upright there arise light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The contrast there between the godly man and the wicked. But we have the godly woman and the godly man. And we should be that for each other. One with another. How do we value marriage? Our society looks at it very disdainfully. Disregards it. Our society looks at it as a means to an end instead of something that has come from as a gift from our God. May we, as God's people, uphold that view of marriage, that it is indeed the gift from our God, a precious, beautiful gift from our great and wondrous God. To marvel and to wonder at what He has given to us. To praise Him, to thank Him always for our spouse. But also that He might work in our hearts to be that godly man and that godly woman that others might wonder what it is that we have. The goodness of our God. Let us pray.